Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
Hey guys, it's Grant Paulson, producer Darius Dameron, making everything sound smooth. This is Bustin' Loose Baseball. Toby Altizer's on vacation. In fact, here's how you know we love the Nats. Toby's vacay is him following the Nats around a bit. He is actually in San Francisco as we speak, where he's been watching the series with family. So he got to watch the Nationals take 2 out of 3 from the Giants. Just going quickly back through these two games, a couple of developments here. Number one, the Nats got really good starting pitching. And when you get very good starting pitching over the weekend on Saturday, Brad Lourdes, on Sunday, Mackenzie Gore, you have a chance to win baseball games. Lourdes threw 6 innings of 4-hit, 1-run ball. Gore threw 6 innings of 3-hit shutout ball. Lourdes, 5 strikeouts, 2 walks, kind of pitched to his strengths, weak contact, a lot of balls hit at people. Gore punched out 10 in what was a virtuoso effort. Got his ERA back down to 4.09. You know, remember, he was at sub-3 at the All-Star break at 2.87, going back to when some of his struggles began. But that was the theme of the play for the Nationals that went well this weekend, was they got starting pitching. And generally speaking, when their starting pitching's been good, their bullpen has been pretty solid. You saw Connor Pilkington on Saturday pitch a clean 7th inning. Jose Ferrer came in, 5 outs of 2-hit scoreless relief with a strikeout. He seems to be taking fairly well so far to his new role. I won't say closer because that was actually his first save chance, but since they traded Kyle Finnegan and elevated Ferrer in import in the back of the bullpen, I actually think he's responded pretty well. And then on Sunday, as we record this podcast, after the series finale and the series winner, you know, Gore throws up 6 bagels, and then Cole Henry was really good in the 7th with 2 punchies. P.J. Poulin, who was claimed off waivers, comes in. He throws a perfect inning with 2 strikeouts, and Clayton Beter, who was acquired at the trade deadline, pitched the 9th inning with a strikeout as well. I want to go into some of those relievers in a moment, but why don't we start with Brad Lourdes? Lourdes' 6-inning, 1-run outing that kind of set the tone on Saturday was the latest of a string of impressive outings for him. Not every start's going to be great. Against Milwaukee, he only threw 4 2/3 of 3-run ball, but he struck out 6. By and large, though, you know, Brad Lourdes has just been a competitive option that gave them a chance every time he pitched so far this season. You know, you go back before that Milwaukee start in Houston, 5 1/3, 1 run. You know, against Cincinnati before that, 4 innings, 1 run. So while back in the rotation now, he has thrown the ball 4 times. He's been good 3 times. He's been great once. He's just been the most consistent arm that they've had, really, circuit to circuit, perhaps this year. You know, certainly not the best arm. I would still say Mackenzie Gore, the all-star, who's got the ERA, you know, about to dip back under 4 into the 3s, maybe gets that distinction. But Lourdes for the season, a 3.28 ERA, 29 of his 39 outings out of the bullpen. He's made 10 starts, 85 innings of work and 70 strikeouts. If you look at his last 7 times out, 4 of those have been starts. It's a 2.49 ERA. Last 15 times he's pitched, it's a 2.70 ERA. And this is a guy who's just a complete success story. They've been few and far between this year. Brad Lourdes was a 531st overall pick at one point in time. He was drafted in the 18th round. And this is the type of player that, frankly, Toby and I complain all the time about the Nationals not really finding, not unearthing. They don't have success stories like this. 18th round picks, you know, with other teams seem to make the big leagues regularly and be a part of, you know, rotations or bullpens all the time. And it just never really seems to happen for the Nationals. But Lourdes, who's only 25, a Florida native, you know, product of South Florida, as I mentioned, has absolutely proven himself this year to be a long-term building block. What role is that? I'm not sure. You know, I've said all along, I kind of think he has the ability and the upside to be in the back end of the rotation. You know, he had a really, really good year as a starter, if you remember, in the minor leagues last year. Maybe only Travis Sikora in the system was more dominant But if you go back and look at his numbers from 2024, you know, he posted a 2.43 ERA in 25 minor league starts. It's not a ton of strikeouts, but it was about one per inning. You know, 135 Ks in 129 innings, an average against of 2.41. He pitched at three different levels with a 10-4 record, started in A+, mostly split his year between AA and AAA, and was probably worthy of a call-up at the very end of the season. I'm sure he was a little bit frustrated that he didn't get one, but went to spring training. He had one blow-up outing in spring training that skewed and changed a lot of his numbers. But otherwise, he was really good. I remember talking to Mike Rizzo and some other people around the team during the spring, and he was a guy that popped out at them and that they were really impressed by. And now you fast forward this season, and you look at some of the metrics. His fastball run value, 89th percentile. He has one of the more effective fastballs in baseball. Pitch he throws 54% of the time. It's not like it's a pitch that's 97 to 99, by the way. Average fastball velocity is 95. You know, right-handed pitching average is 94.9. So if you're looking at just, you know, his fastball velocity, it's 62nd percentile. But, you know, he's basically just a tick over what is, you would consider, you know, a good right-handed arm at this point. Throws his fastball over half the time, the slider about 18% of the times, an 85-mile-an-hour pitch. Throws the two-seam sinker. That's also right around 95. I think that pitch is every bit as effective for him, 16% of the time. And then he throws his changeup about 11% of the time. The breaking ball hasn't graded out great. The breaking run value is 38th percentile. The off-speed's 25th percentile. But the fastball's been kind of the bread and butter. He grades out overall, pitching run value, 68th percentile this year. But exit velocity is kind of where he's had a lot of success. The ball's just not getting hit hard with bat speed off of him. 82nd percentile average exit velo, 92nd percentile barrel percentage. This is a guy who gets a lot of ground balls, one of the top ground ball pitchers on the staff, 84th percentile in baseball, and it's just because it's weak contact. It's not barrels. It's not high exit velos. Frankly, it's not hard hit. You know, hard hit percentage is 64th percentile. His stuff is not that of a swing and miss pitcher, really. So, like, strikeout percentage is well below average. Chase percentage is 25th percentile. Expected batting average is 280, which is, you know, going to happen when a lot of balls are put in play against you. That number is going to be fairly high. His 14th percentile there. And his ERA probably should be about a run higher than it is. Expected 4.35. In reality, it's 3.28. So, there's been some luck here. But I think as a building block season, as a starting point for him, there's a lot to like from Brad Lord, and I think he's a guy that's just gone under the radar far too often this year, but again in this Giants series was really, really good. Then you fast forward to Sunday and Mackenzie Gore and those six shutout innings with 10 strikeouts. How badly did Mackenzie Gore need that start?
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake, to find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Bomani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I got to tell you, I loved the way that he spoke after his dud against the Athletics when the A's hung 16 on the Nationals and he got rocked in his worst start of the year. 12 hits, 8 earnings over 3 innings. He was bad. And in the dugout, you could see the frustration stewing after he got over and got the towel, was eventually going to the showers. After the game with the media, I kind of wondered, is he going to be measured? What's he going to say? And he was awesome. He basically said, this is unacceptable. I'm embarrassed. We got to do better. He says we for himself a lot, like we're throwing, I'm making up a sentence now, but we're throwing too many fastballs. We need to start mixing in the changeup. And I think when he was saying we, in this case, it was Royal, like the whole team. This is bad. You know, the staff at that point over a 4-day stretch had given up a record amount of hits dating back to like the 30s. But he was also saying, what's happening with me is unacceptable. You know, he had an ERA over 13 in a 5-start span at that point and kind of had caved in since the All-Star break. And I thought for him to come out and basically say, like, this is not cool, this is not who I want to be, this is not what I'm going to be for the rest of the year, I loved hearing that, and I wanted to see how he responded. It's one thing to come out and say it, but do you, you know, walk the walk after you talk the talk? How about 3-hit shutout ball, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts, one of his best starts of the year in 6 innings in San Francisco against the Giants. Really encouraging, important, necessary for Mackenzie Gore to get off the schneid in that start. So let's take a look at some of the specifics as to how he accomplished it. It was a 96-pitch, 6-inning gem from him. He threw 41 fastballs, 21 curveballs, 18 sliders, 11 changeups, and 5 cutters. So he really mixed his pitches well. If you look at his percentages in this game comparative to the season, he threw his fastball about 43% of the time. On the season, he's throwing his fastball 50% of the time. So fastball usage was down just a little bit. His curveball he used 22% of the time. On the year, that's about right, 24% of the time. Slider usage in this game was up to nearly 20%. It's been at 12%. Change up for the year, about 10%. That was right there. And then his cutter, he threw 5 of those pitches in this game. You know, basically has been there occasionally when he's needed it. But the one difference, I guess, if anything, was a few more sliders than have been the case. He had his good fastball, I think only going the 3 innings, even though he did throw plenty of pitches in getting 9 outs last time out. Had him a little bit fresher. Maximum velo of 97 miles an hour. Was up a hair from where he's been in terms of his average fastball this season. His curveball was up 1.5 miles per hour. Slider was up 1.2 miles per hour. Changeup was up 0.8. So was the cutter. So everything was a tick up. In fact, his RPMs, if you look at some of the spin, was up a bit on his off-speed stuff. Fastball was down just a hair, interestingly enough, in the game. But when you look at the swings he was getting, he got 7 swings and misses on the fastball out of 20 pitches, 5 whiffs on 13 curveballs, and in the game, 21 swings and misses for Mackenzie Gore, one of his season highs. A lot of that is, you know, both of the pitch offerings against the cutter, 2-for-2 on swings and misses, 1/2 of the swings on the changeup. I thought that was a really, really good pitch for him. 1/2 of the sliders that were offered at were basically swings and misses as well. So it's about as good as he's going to look, I think, from a sheer stuff standpoint. And he needed to. It had to be that kind of outing after what he had said. Then you go to the bullpen, and I'd mentioned Cole Henry, who it's not going to be perfect. It's not linear, but I think over the last week or so has settled in into like a 7th inning, you know, bridge roll from starters to setup man. I am interested in PJ Poulin and just seeing what he can become for the Nationals. This is exactly to me what the rest of this year should be about for Mike DiBartolo. You should be trying to claim as many guys as possible as often as possible. This should be basically a revolving door operation to just bring guys in here for cameos, get them into the big league operation, see if they're any good, see if they can stick. You know, add them to your organization, and whether they're in the big leagues, short-term, long-term, back to the minors, I don't care. But a guy like PJ Poulin, who's 29, played at UConn, 11th-round pick by the Rockies, was having a successful season in the minor leagues with Detroit, why not kick the tires? And so far, so good. He's getting big-time chases as a, you know, a lefty who right now is basically throwing 2 pitches. I guess it's 3 because he pretty much, it's 40% fastball, 30% sweeper, and then he does throw the change about 30% of the time. But this is not overpowering stuff by any means, right? It's a 91-mile-an-hour fastball, 78-mile-an-hour sweeper, 80-mile-an-hour change, but he's going to keep you off balance. He's going to try to mix pitches. He's going to rely on kind of what is, you know, quirky release point. He's just lower than is generally the case, and from the left side, he can be a problem for left-handers, I would think. But you've seen him throw strikes. I think that's been the big key for me since he's gotten here is the fact that he's just throwing the ball over the plate, he's not walking anybody, and he's avoiding barrels. So far, I'm interested, I'm intrigued to see what he can add, because that's frankly what they need, is just to be able to bring in a couple arms that can help shorten games. You know, your starters, as the year goes on, wear down, get tired. You're seeing a lot of guys are going to go. There's plenty of Brad Lord starts. Jake Irvin starts are going to be 5 innings at a time. It's kind of what you're hoping for at this point from Mitchell Parker generally as well. That's a lot of innings for the bullpen to cover. In these stretches, where you know these guys are not getting a day off for a week or so. So you need to be able to pitch PJ Poulin in a big spot or Clayton Beter in tight games. We've now seen Shin get outings, get some of these appearances with the game tied and in some big spots against left-handed starting big-time bats, I should say, impact bats. But in the case of Poulin, I'll give him a thumbs up so far. Beter's stuff is awesome. It's just going to be about throwing strikes. I just really don't know what to expect in the way of whether or not they can get him to throw the ball over the plate. But it's really simple. If he throws strikes, Clayton Beter is going to be a big league relief pitching contributor for a while for the Nationals. The stuff's awesome. He's 26. He's got an electric arm. It's why he was a competitive balance pick in the B round, you know, back in 2020 by the Dodgers out of Texas Tech. You know, it's a fastball that's firm, 96 to 97. We've seen him touch 98, 99. He's got a really good slider, tight slider as well. But I need you to throw strikes. You know, 80th percentile fastball velocity is going to work, but you've already seen where you know, you come in and you know, a walk rate around 21% is not really going to cut it. So that's going to be the key. We have now seen him, though, when he's been successful, come in, pelt the ball over the strike zone, and let his defense work behind him.